Welcome to the BCHL podcast presented by Subway. This is Brent Mutis from BCHL Communications. Packed show for you today with three guests coming up, but we start this week with news on the awards front. The finalists for BCHL Hardware, one from each division, were announced this week after an initial round of voting by the league's head coaches. One more round will be needed to determine the winner for each trophy, and those will be announced next week before the start of the playoffs. All the details are at bchl.ca, but some of the highlights include Victoria Grizzlies 16-year-old forward Alex Newhook being up for Rookie of the Year and MVP. Also, the Prince George Spruce Kings have finalists for four different awards, while the Wenatchee Wild are up for three. One of the finalists for top goaltender this year is Taz Berman of the Nanaimo Clippers. He's our first guest on the podcast today, and it was Clips play-by-play man Dan Marshall doing the honors as they started off discussing Berman getting to the 20-win plateau this season, despite being with the club only since late October.
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I didn't even know I hit 20 wins, so it's not really something I look at too much. I mean, obviously, you know, I want to win, and as a team, we want to win, but the actual number, it's not really something I look at a whole lot. For me, you know, I know when I'm playing well, I know what I need to do, so I'm more just focusing on that, not so much the win total.
What do you do as a goaltender to work on your game, whether that's mechanics, whether it's the mental side of things? Do you have a goalie coach that you spend time with on ice? Do you have a goalie coach or maybe somebody that's more of a mental coach that you speak to as well? Or are you somebody that just a lot of that comes from within?
I mean, it's a bit of both. I mean, obviously, some of that has to come with within. You know, you have to push yourself to be getting better every day. But at the same time, you know, you got to be, you know, listening, taking advice from others. So, I mean, I have lots of people throughout the years that I've listened to that I've, you know, taken some tips from, some advice. And that's really been, I mean, huge for my game. I know in the summers and the off season, when I go home, I have a guy with I work with. And, you know, we work on, you know, on the ice and a lot of stuff. But he also talks about the mental aspect. Just how to approach games and stuff, because I mean that's such a huge aspect of goaltending. You know, you have to have that mental side to be successful, and so I like to work on that quite a bit.
We think often about how the impact of something like a coaching change, which you've gone through, what kind of impact that has on forwards and defensemen, but we don't often look at it from a goalie's perspective. As you've transitioned to a new head coach as the team's number one goaltender in the Nanaimo, how has that transition gone for you?
I mean, I think, you know, you've got to continue kind of just doing the same things you were doing before the coaching change. I think sometimes, you know, the play style of play with your team's going to change a little bit. That's normal with the coaching change. You know, they're going to want to implement different things in the old regime. And so maybe there's going to be a bit of an adjustment period. I know, you know, with us, maybe we gave up a few more chances than we would have liked during a bit of a stretch. But, I mean, as a goalie, you just kind of got to block all that out and just do what you do and try to make saves. And I think, you know, we've adjusted really nicely here over the last 8 or 9 games or so. And so, I mean, for me, it wasn't something I was worrying about too much. You know, things are going to change. That's just the way it is. And you just got to continue to do your job.
What are you seeing from the goal crease over an 8-game winning streak as we're talking right now that the Clippers have built up? Streaks like that are not very easy to put together. A lot of things have to go right. What's going well for the hockey club?
I think we're just playing well in really every zone. You know, if you saw us when we were on a bit of a skid there on a losing streak, I think, you know, maybe we're a bit loose as a team. We're giving up a bit too much. But now I think if you watch us, pretty much every game, we're not giving up a whole lot of chances, which makes my job really easy. Even if we're getting outshot, usually we're managing to keep teams to low-grade chances, shots from the outside, which I think is key and is going to be key moving forward into the playoffs. So I think that's one of the biggest things for us, you know, just playing well defensively. We know the offense will come. We're not too worried about that. It's more just being responsible in our D zone. I think over the last 8 games, that's been one of our biggest strengths.
With the numbers that you've put up, there's the possibility of individual accolades. With the numbers your team has put up, I think there's the possibility of a regular season division title, certainly a playoff championship, and those are very important things. When you look back at the end of your BCHL experience, it's going to be a one-year experience. What are you hoping that you can take from that as a goaltender individually and as a team player as a Nanaimo Clipper?
Well, I mean, for me, I mean, I really hope that we can have some playoff success and make a run that we can all remember. I mean, I think everyone knows, you know, those are going to be the most memorable times when we're able to make a great run. I think we have the team to do it. You know, we're in a division with some quality teams, but we're also a quality team. It's going to be a real dogfight in the playoffs. So, I mean, after this year, hopefully I can look back on a long, successful run with a good group of guys.
A big thanks to Dan Marshall in Nanaimo for that interview with Clippers goalie Taz Berman. With this being the last weekend of regular season action, a quick snapshot now of the divisional races reveals Powell River has the best look at the island crown as they have two games in hand on both Victoria and Nanaimo. In the interior, the Penticton V's need just 1 point this weekend to lock up not only first place in the division, but also the Ron Boileau Memorial Trophy as regular season champs. Staying in Penticton, though he wasn't a finalist for this season's Coach of the Year award, Fred Harbinson's work may be one of the better coaching performances in recent years. As he lost a top forward and a top defense and yet keeps his team poised to claim yet another regular season title. Not preoccupied with personal recognition, Harbinson says the results speak to the work of his staff and players.
You know what? I think our whole staff's done a good job. You know, I don't really measure, I don't really worry too much about coaching awards and stuff like that. It's about putting banners in our rink and you know, developing players. So, I mean, as far as the fact that we're in a, you know, have an opportunity here to still win the President's Trophy with, you know, over 200 man games lost when the weekend's said and done, you know, I think our whole staff has done a real good job of keeping, you know, the guys on track and with the amount of changes that we've had that, you know, to be in this position.
On the injuries again, I mean, has this been a unique year for you? Every hockey team goes through injuries, but is it a particularly bad year or just the magnitude because of guys like, you know, Grant Cruikshank and Ryan O'Connell who are big parts of your team?
Yeah, I've never been associated. I've coached 24 years or whatever and played a long time too and never had this extent of it. You know, I think as the years go on, injuries are bigger and bigger nowadays. It seems like there's more and more of them. But yeah, no question. I mean, last year we thought we had a lot. Last year was 70 some man games lost, but you know, 40 some of them were to one player. You know, this year seems like all our top guys at some point have been out and for significant moments. And as you mentioned, you know, losing an NHL drafted defenseman for the year and your returning leading scorer from the year previous that won a championship, that would have buried a lot of teams. But we've found a way to kind of just keep moving forward.
I think there's a bit of perception the last couple of years that Penticton V's don't score a lot of goals, but you're actually fifth in the league in goals for this year, and maybe the perception comes because you haven't had a lot of guys in the top 20 in overall league scoring the last couple of years, but you do have 14 guys with 20 or more points this year. So do you look at it as being a depth thing, or how do you view your guys' offensive attack?
It's funny how people perceive you certain ways and then it sticks. And, you know, there's been times where people want to say that we overplay certain players, but the truth of the matter is more years than not that I've been here, we've been more of a four-line team. And when you play four lines, sometimes the scoring gets spread out. And so, yeah, you might not have that guy at the top. Of course, we've had years where we've had the, you know, the Scott Conways or the Tyson Jokes. Of course, we've had that. But for the most part, over the last, you know, handful of years, our scoring has been spread out. I think that's what's allowed us to win championships for the most, you know, most part. And it's hard to key just on one or two guys.
You know, one of the guys that has been key for you and a guy that is quite high up in the scoring race this year is Owen Sillinger, and he's a guy that you've had for 3 years now, I think. And how has his game come along, and you know, what allows him to be such a consistent producer for you?
He plays the right way. I mean, he's kind of like, you know, we've had some captains here in the past, like Nick Jones or you know, even Brett Hextall back in the day. Like, you know, we've had a lot of real good captains that are just, you know, 200-foot players, guys that are, you know, great on the penalty kill, you know, will block a shot, you know, just do a little bit of everything. You know, they're not just one-dimensional. And Owen's been that player for us from the minute he got here. You know, for whatever reason, he maybe never put up big offensive numbers his first 2 years. He had good numbers. But you saw he had scored in midget, and this year it's really obviously taken to another level. I mean, I think he's got over 32 goals or whatever it is with three games to go. But he's just he's been a great captain, a great kid to coach. I'm going to miss him when he leaves.
Another guy that's key for you on the back end is Johnny Tyconek. He's going into his draft year. I guess the comparable that way, you think of a guy like Dante Fabro just because he was touted to be a high draft pick as a defenseman. Is there comparables between them physically or in how they play? How would you contrast them?
No, they're different players, I would say, but to be honest with you, from day one, and you know, I had more of a comparison to Troy Stetcher when I had him here. You know, not the biggest defenseman, but would somehow come out of the corner with the puck a lot of times, had that same demeanor. Troy never got drafted, but obviously made the NHL. You know, Johnny has a lot, you know, obviously a lot of people focusing on him, and it sounds like he'll be a late first or high second round draft pick if everything keeps going the way it's going. And but you know what, Johnny's a great story too. We're just kind of like Stetch was, is when, you know, they came in their first year, it was, you know, it wasn't like they were playing big minutes or you know, the number one defenseman on the team. They had to fight and scratch and claw, and that's what Johnny's done over the course of his first year to his second year, and he's made himself into one of the elite defensemen in the league, and obviously in the world, if he's, you know, for his age.
That is Penticton bench boss Fred Harbinson. Looking back quickly at the BCHL Player of the Week, and this time it's Powell River Kings goalie Derek Krall. It's a rare achievement this week, as Krall is an affiliate player with the Kings and has spent the bulk of his season in Junior B with the Nanaimo Buccaneers. But Krall earned the nod after making 110 saves on 113 shots in three games, all wins, and he took two first star honors. BCHL Player of the Week, Powell River Kings goalie Derek Krall. Moving now into our final segment, we put the alumni spotlight on Trail Smoke Eaters alum Nick Halloran, who's having a huge sophomore season at Colorado College. His 41 points put him in a tie for fourth in the nation in scoring. After a freshman season where he posted just 5 goals and 4 assists, he's been a revelation for the Tigers and credits good fortune and some good line mates for the jump he's made.
I knew I had the capability to have a good season, but I think I'm getting lucky, and I think a couple of the bounces are going the way. And I'm playing with two really good players that make it fairly easy at times to put it in the net, so I'd say that's probably the biggest difference.
I was hoping you could bring us up to speed on maybe what you did in the off season that is maybe most to credit for your personal improvement and the amount of offense you're producing this year. What was it that sort of has led to this so much?
Yeah, there's a couple things. As far as the off season goes, I worked on a lot of conditioning because I find if I'm in the best shape and I'm skating faster than everyone else, then I'm probably doing something good out there. Conditioning was a big one, and then the other one was hand-eye coordination. So I worked a lot with, like, juggling tennis balls, stick handling well on, like, balance beams and stuff like that. I think that helps with kind of just a multitude of things on the ice. So probably those are the two biggest things for sure. And then obviously lifting and just trying to get stronger.
Wanted to ask you as well about just, you know, the kind of attention that comes with being one of the top scorers in the NCAA. Are you doing a lot more media for one thing, and when you're on the ice, are you seeing a lot more attention from the other team's top defensive pairings and checking forwards, that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. As far as media goes, nothing too out of the ordinary. I mean, I've talked to a couple more people this year, but I tried not to let that focus my game around or try not to let that phase me. I just try to keep it simple and play my game and have fun out there. And then, yeah, like on the ice, I've definitely noticed defensemen, if our line jumps out, it's usually the same two defensemen of every team dropping out to come and defend us. You definitely get a little bit more attention when you have put up some good numbers, and I've found that to be true.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the players, some of your teammates that at Colorado College that are from the BC Hockey League, and some guys were good players here. I wondered if you could just give us a quick scouting report as how they're doing as NCAA players. Christian Blumenschein and Andrew Farney on the blue line. How are they able to how have they been able to contribute for you?
They really come into their own here this year. They both play pretty simple defensive games, and I think that's what our team needs sometimes. And both of them can create offensively. I mean, you've seen that. I think they got a decent amount of points. Blumenschein, I play with him on the power play right now, and he's a really creative puck-moving defenseman who can certainly make things happen. And I think you saw that in the BCHL and translated pretty well to the NCAA.
I was hoping you'd bring us up to speed a little bit on your older brother, Alex, who, you know, folks around the BCHL remember having played in Cowichan and Valley, went to play his college hockey in the state of Colorado as well, but at Air Force. What's he up to these days, and does he get to come watch you play much?
Yeah, he does get to see me play out here. He has a girlfriend who lives out here, so he'll come visit her every once in a while, and he's just an acquisitions officer for the Air Force Academy, so yeah, I mean, don't talk too much about all that, but he keeps tabs on me, and it's good to have an older brother who went through it all for sure.
How about for you guys on the ice this season, the Colorado College Tigers? Who's some big rivals? Obviously, Air Force is in-state, but they're not in conference. Denver's not far away. Who do your fans and your players get up for the most, do you think?
In conference, and then like you said, out of conference, Air Force is a big one. Those are probably the top three: Air Force, Denver, and Minnesota Duluth. Every time we play Duluth, it's pretty competitive and a scrappy game, and our fans love to see that.
That's Trail grad and Colorado College sophomore Nick Halloran. And that's going to do it for the podcast this week. For all the latest news, visit bchl.ca and get the BCHL mobile app. It's free in the App Store. I'm Brent Mutis from BCHL Communications. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.